WFMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 855-915-9636. Please don't call the phone number. It's just me tonight. 855-915-9636. If you really feel the need to call and interrupt the show and make me put a song on it, hey, it's a way to get me to shut up, right? So that's a win. It is a beautiful Wednesday night. It's Wednesday, isn't it? It's the middle of August. We are hopefully past the worst of the heat and the humidity that dogs us here every summer during the dog days of summer. And Sinofall coming up next week. We'll get to that later in the show. Plus Jeffrey Epstein. Plus there's going to be some fun in Portland this weekend. Plus local news. But the big story right now. This is from CNBC. They're a good business channel. Dow tanks 800 points in worst day of 2019 after bond market sends recession warning. This is the thing that is in the background. You're probably hearing this noise. You may not be paying attention to it. Now, in a previous life, I was a financial writer, and I was a Series 6 certified financial writer. That does not mean that anything I am going to say constitutes financial advice. You should never make any financial decision without talking to your financial advisor. But I do come at this as someone who knows their way around financial news, used to write financial news, understands a bit about markets and how they work. And this thing has been bubbling all week. We've been hearing about the stock market, the stock market, the stock market. And here we go today from CNBC. Stocks plunged Wednesday in the Dow Jones Industrial Average's worst performance of 2019 after the bond market flashed a troubling signal about the U.S. economy. I already have issues with the reporting here. The Dow dropped 800.49 points or 3.5% to 2,000. They got the comma in the wrong place. They write this stuff quickly, so I'll cut them some slack for the comma. To 25,479.42, its worst percentage drop of the year and fourth largest point drop of all time. Now, when you read this and you start to panic, you need to understand that there are two different things going on here. When the stock market drops, you get two numbers. You get the points and you get the percentage. The points, as the Dow Jones keeps going higher and higher and higher, become less meaningful, okay? An 800-point drop when the stock market is at 26,000 is a lot different than an 800-point drop when the Dow is at 10,000. And this is why you really want to pay attention to the percentage, because the percentage tells you how much actual value the stock market lost. And what it lost today was almost 3%. No, it lost 3.05%. The S&P 500 lost 2.93%, and the NASDAQ fell 3.02%. So all three indexes going in the same southern direction. Worst percentage drop of the year, but 3% is not a massive number, okay? You started the day with a dollar, you have 97 cents now. That's what that 3% drop means. Now we get into the meat of this. The Dow gave up the entire rebound from a sell-off earlier in August and fell to a two-month low. Again, it's not at its lows for the year. It is a two-month low. The yield on the benchmark 10-year Treasury note on Wednesday briefly broke below the two-year rate, an odd bond market phenomenon that has been a reliable indicator of economic recessions. Investors, worried about the state of the economy, rushed to long-term safe haven assets, pushing the yield on the benchmark 30-year Treasury bond to a new record low on Wednesday. Bank stocks led the declines as it gets tougher for the group to make a profit lending money in such an environment. Bank of America and Citigroup fell 4.6% and 5.3% respectively, while J.P. Morgan dropped 4.2%. The financial sector dipped into correction territory, down more than 10% from a recent high. Now, that is an interesting statistic. When you hear the word correction, all the word correction means is that you have lost 10% of your value from a previous high. Corrections come in two flavors. There are corrections that take place when stocks really, really build up in price. Okay, you look at tech stocks. Tech stocks go through the roof, and then they fall by 10% because a lot of investors who got into them say, you know what? I don't think this is going to keep going up the way that it has been. I'm getting my money out. One big investor goes out. More big investors follow. You go down 10%. And that becomes your new baseline. And then you move up from there. What we're seeing here with financials, which are usually pretty solid, which usually only move into a correction if a recession is imminent, is a lot of weakness in the banking sector. Lack of confidence in investors there. And then we have this business with the yield curve. Now, for those who don't thoroughly understand how markets work, there are three types of investments that exist. There are money markets, which are very, very short-term notes, 3 to 6 months. They're basically the equivalent of cash. The return that you get on them is very small, but they are very, very safe. A couple of years ago, we saw money markets actually fall below a level of $1 in value. This is known as breaking the buck in the investment world, and it is an incredibly rare thing to happen. As a rule of thumb, you can lose money on any investment that you choose, but money markets, you're not really getting much payback from them, but they are considered a safe place to park your money. Then we have equities or stocks. That's your Dow Jones Industrial Average, your NASDAQ, your S&P 500. Those are shares in a company. And their performance is tied to the financial value of the company, how investors feel about the company, whether or not they're paying dividends, what their future growth prospects are. There's a lot that goes into that. And stocks are the ones that took the beating today. The third category of investment is bonds. Bonds serve a couple of purposes in investing. The main purpose is a place to hold money over a longer term than a money market and get some decent interest rates on them. The 10-year Treasury note is the one that most people pay attention to because the interest rate on a Treasury note is about the same as the federal interest rate. So when we hear about interest rates going up and down, what we're hearing is that the interest rates on bonds are going up and down. So if you spend 97 cents on a bond with a 3% interest rate, at some point it's going to be worth a dollar. As a rule of thumb, 10-year Treasury notes trade at higher interest rates than 2-year Treasury notes. And this is called the yield curve. The distance between those two, the space between what the interest rate is on a 10-year note and what the interest rate is on a 2-year note is the yield curve. 10-year notes should have a higher interest rate because you are putting your money at risk for a longer period of time than you are with a 2-year Treasury note. Every now and again, as happened briefly today, the yield curve will get inverted. And what happens is everybody bails out on 10-year notes. Or excuse me, I've got it backwards. Everyone bails out on 2-year notes and buys 10-year notes. Because what happens to a bond is the difference between its purchase price and its interest rate is its yield. The more that you pay for a bond, the lower the yield. So if a bond has a 2% interest rate and you pay a dollar for it, then you're getting a 1% yield. If you pay $2 for that bond, you're getting no yield at all. Why would people do that? Well, the reason that you do that is because you think the economy is going to be better in 10 years and that those bonds are going to be more valuable over the next 10 years than the 2-year bond, which is basically worthless in the eyes of investors. When the yield on the 10-year breaks below the 2-year, this is investors saying the 2-year bond is worthless to us. We would rather have 10-year bonds because we think the economy is going to do poorly for the next 2 years. So that's what's being said. Now, it is true that an inverted yield curve has predicted 7 of the last 8 recessions. It is also true that recession is a normal, natural, predictable part of the economic cycle. Nothing grows forever. Nothing falls forever. Unless you were invested in a company like Woolworths, even they're still around, they're Foot Locker now, or J.J. Newberry or Filene's or some company that's going out of business. Yeah, that won't fall forever. It will eventually fall to zero and wipe out any investment that you have. But the market as a whole will neither go up forever nor go down forever. It does a little bit of both. And there are a few things out there that influence the behavior of investors. So what's going on right now is there are four factors that are causing this sort of convulsion in the market, I think is the best way to describe it. And again, none of this should be construed as financial advice. I'm giving you my opinion on this. And my opinion on this is that there is really nothing fundamentally wrong with the economy. There are no existential threats looming out there. But there are four things that have investors spooked right now. And I'm going to tell you what those four things are in the order of reverse importance. Okay, so the least important up to the most important. Number four is going to be what's happening in international markets right now. Last week, we saw a number of Asian markets drop their interest rates. This week, we saw Argentina start to default on some of its bonds, and that has sent a lot of investors just running from Argentina. So you've got people pulling money out of Argentina. You got people looking at Asia and saying, that's the tech sector. That's smartphones. That's computers. That's routers. That's everything, LED TVs, all the stuff that we buy. If they're saying their economy is going to be bad, maybe there's a global ripple that's going to come from this. So the international stuff is probably the fourth most important factor in this. The third most important factor is what's happening with tech stocks. And I believe we talked about this back in December when the market was gyrating all over the place. And I said at that point in time, this will calm down. Again, not giving you financial advice. You need to talk to your financial advisor. Don't make any decisions based on what I tell you. I'm just arming you with information so that you can go and talk to your financial advisor. Tech stocks are taking a hit. And tech stocks first took a hit back in December because the people who were buying tech stocks were looking for 15%, 18%, 20% year-over-year growth in the value of those investments, okay? So you invest 10 bucks, you get 12. You invest 10 bucks, you get 15 on some of those stocks. And investors are sitting there and they're going, this is pure alpha. I love this. All I'm doing is making money. And then the tech stocks return a normal amount, like 8%, and instead of getting 12 bucks for your $10 investment, you get $10.80. And these investors are like, there's no alpha here anymore. I got to go find alpha elsewhere. And so they pull their money out of the tech stocks. Netflix delivered a very disappointing earnings report last week. And Netflix said, we have problems with subscriber growth. Apple is being pressured both by lower sales for the iPhone and all of their other devices, and by the trade war with China, which I'm going to get to in a minute. So all of this negative sentiment, you've got the federal government investigating Amazon, they're investigating Google, they're investigating Facebook. Nobody really knows what's going to happen in the tech sector anymore. And the tech sector was the biggest driver of the economic recovery of the last 10 years. Remember that 10-year number because that's important. We'll get to that in a minute. The tech sector was the big driver. That was the engine that fueled the economic growth. And it fueled the economic growth because at a time when every other sector and every other industry was either flat or maybe you get, 3, 4% on your investments, people are getting 12, 15, 18, 20, 25% year over year. So all the money flowed into these tech stocks. And once they stopped paying out at that level, all the money came back. That's your... So international activity is your fourth most important factor. What's been happening with tech and declining returns from tech stocks is your third most important factor. Your second most important factor is the trade war with China, which really has had very little material effect on the United States economy, despite anything that the hysterical media might tell you. Any opportunity to knock down the president, any opportunity to say orange man bad, any opportunity to say Trump's driving us over a cliff, they will take. The problem with this is there are people who read this stuff, and some of them are in the market, some of them are investors, some of them are money managers, and say, you know what, this is bad. We're heading over the cliff. The economy is going to fall apart. The recession is coming. There's no evidence of that, at least not because of the trade war. Now, because it got so much negative press and because everyone started harping about it, Donald Trump on Monday pushed back the date for the next round of sanctions on China. So there was supposed to be a new round of tariffs on China that I believe was going to kick in either September 1st or September 15th. That has now been pushed back to December 15th. And this is basically the president being a politician and saying, you know what, even if I have all these economists saying that this tariff increase is not going to cause a recession, I got the New York Times and the Washington Post, the Chicago Tribune and the Los Angeles Times going and finding the one person who's been hurt by this and putting it on the front page, and it's spooking Wall Street. So the trade war with China, which we're going to get into in depth at some point in the future, not tonight. It's bad enough that I'm boring you with finance off the top. I'm not going to follow it up with a conversation on trade war because I know that's too much for one show. But the trade war with China, second most important factor. And we will recall that declines in returns from tech stocks are number three. Things that are happening internationally are number four. That brings me to number one. The number one factor that is causing these issues in the market right now is 10 years. That's how long this economic expansion has been going on. 10 years is unprecedented. We've never had an economic expansion in the United States that has lasted for 10 years. Investors and money managers and the people who make the decisions on Wall Street are a superstitious bunch. More than the average human, they are ruled by fear and greed. And there is a fair amount of herd mentality among them. They all like to sit around and say, I'm the smartest guy in the room and I'm the most original thinker. But when it comes down to it, they're all keeping one eye over their shoulder to see what everybody else is doing. And if the majority of the market starts moving in one direction, they're going to follow. So what's really behind all of this? More than anything fundamental, economically, I mean, you can make an argument that, yes, lower returns for trade for tech stocks upset investors, make those investments less popular. That doesn't impact you as an individual. It doesn't impact your life. You can make an argument that the trade war with China has created fewer opportunities for American farmers to sell their produce. So they're hurting a little bit. And that it's pushed up prices on some products, which are making things less expensive, which may make consumers buy less. But there's been no hard economic data to support any of that yet. This is all still speculative at this point. I suspect we're going to get a good read on that as we get into the fourth quarter of the year and we see what the full impact of the trade war to date has been. But at this point in time, all we have is anecdotes from people saying, hey, China's not buying my sweet potatoes anymore. Or, hey, the cost for aluminum to make these iPhones has gone up. We don't know what we're going to do. Well, you're going to do what any business does. You're either going to pass the cost along to the consumer or you're going to eat it. You're going to find some other market for your sweet potatoes or you're going to sell them for less than you used to. Money's going to be a little bit tighter, but that is not a fundamental shock to the economy. So what that leaves is the fear. And the fear is what is in charge right now. The fear is what is ruling Wall Street. Everybody is waiting for the shoe to drop. Everyone is waiting for the bottom to fall out of this economic recovery. Statistically, right now, if you look at all the data that the U.S. government has put out, there is no evidence to suggest that that is going to happen. But because investors and Wall Street think it should, it is likely going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy. Somebody moves into 10-year bonds. Somebody else notices it and says, wait, the yield curve is getting tighter. We got to get in on those 10-year bonds right now before it inverts. The next thing you know, the yield curve is inverted. Now everybody's sitting around saying, that's a recession sign. We're going to have a recession. The recession is coming. Everybody starts pulling money out of stocks. They're throwing it into bonds. They're throwing it into gold. They're throwing it into all of the usual places where money gets parked when people think a bad economy is on the horizon. Do I think a bad economy is on the horizon? Well, I think the herd mentality on Wall Street, I think the fear that is ruling Wall Street right now almost make it inevitable. Not because there's, again, not because there's anything fundamentally wrong with the economy, but because everybody on Wall Street is sitting around thinking there must be. Because we've had too much growth for too long and this can't go on forever. And it's a little bit like living near a lake or a river in wintertime. There is an episode, if you remember the show Northern Exposure, there is an episode that is set in springtime. And everyone is waiting for the ice to crack. And everyone in town is going, because it makes this massive sound when the ice cracks. It's a little bit like an earthquake rumbling through the town. Because they're right next to this massive Alaskan river. And every spring the ice cracks and it makes this sound. And everybody is waiting for this to happen. Number one, because they know that it's coming. And number two, because it's a sign of spring. It's a sign they're like, okay, winter is over. We can move on. And in this one episode of Northern Exposure, everyone in town is losing their minds because the ice is not cracking fast enough. They're all waiting for the ice to crack. They're like, it should have cracked by now. It should have cracked by now. It should have cracked by now. And they're just spinning themselves into a frenzy, waiting for something that they have no control over. And the ice finally cracks and everything goes back to normal. He's like, okay, the ice cracked. We're good now. But in the moments leading up to that ice cracking, the whole town is coming apart. This is Wall Street right now. Wall Street is waiting for the economic recovery to crack. And the more time that goes by that it doesn't, the more the people who are expecting it get worked up and start looking for any possible sign, any possible signal that the recession is coming. It is generally understood by economists and by anybody who has any fundamental understanding of economies and markets that, yes, a recession is going to happen. Is it going to be bad? Is it going to be long? A recession, for those who don't know, is defined as two consecutive quarters of negative economic growth. There's no number attached to that. Okay, your economic growth can be down by 0.1%. But if that happens for two straight quarters, that's a recession. Now, it tends to be a little bit bigger than that because our government can magically make 0.1%, maybe even 0.1% disappear with their calculations and adjustments. But a recession is inevitable. People hear that word and they automatically flash back to 2008. They're like, oh my God, it's no, that was not a typical recession. That was a near depression that we had in this country. That was almost as bad as the 1920s. A recession is inevitable. And you may have heard me mention this talking about the presidential election in the limited way that I have, and it's going to stay that way for a while. That a recession setting in before November of 2012 sinks Donald Trump's chances of re-election. And there are people out there who are hoping for it. Bill Maher is one of the most prominent examples. But Bill Maher, and he's caught a lot of flack for it because people say, don't you understand what a recession is? Don't you understand that a recession hurts people? Yeah, he gets that. All he's doing is saying what a lot of Democratic operatives are saying and a lot of Democratic strategists are saying, which is a recession sinks the Trump presidency. I think there is a tremendous amount of truth to that statement. So the president needs to keep the recession at bay until after the first Tuesday in November of 2020. And this is part of the reason why the new round of tariffs on China has been delayed to December. Because by December 15th, everything that is going to be shipped into the United States for Christmas and Hanukkah and the end of the year holidays has been shipped into the country. And the fourth quarter tends to post growth even in down times. So that gets some cover into early next year. Are we likely to see a recession after that? I would say it's possible, because it's always possible. I would say that the chances of it happening are above average. I don't think it's going to be long. And again, I am not telling you how to invest. I'm not telling you what to do with your money. It's strictly my opinion. When the recession comes, I don't think it's going to be long, and I don't think it's going to be that deep. I think you're going to see two quarters of growth, of negative growth, 2% or less contraction in the economy, and then things are going to get back on track. If, for some reason, it sets in the fourth quarter of this year, then I would kick that up to three quarters. And by this time next year, we're back on the path to growth again. So that's what I think is going to happen. Now, what does this mean for you if you are invested in the market? Well, it depends on where you are and what you're doing. And again, I'm not giving financial advice. Nothing I say should be taken as financial advice. I have to keep saying this because somebody goes out and they're like, well, the guy on the radio said do this thing. No, the guy on the radio is going to say one thing. Talk to your financial advisor. Talk to whoever it is who is managing your money. Do it now. Because the bottom has not fallen out of this yet. The bottom is probably not likely to fall out of this anytime soon. August is really usually a quiet month in the stock market. September is the month that we worry about. So you want to make that phone call now and get ahead of the line of everybody else who's going to be calling up and saying, I don't know what to do. But some general guidelines, and these come back from the days when I used to write investment pieces and offer investment advice to people. Again, I'm not telling you how to invest your money. I'm just giving you some general guidelines on this. If you are less than 10 years away from retirement, okay, you're retiring in 8 years, 5 years, 4 years, 3 years, you want to talk to your financial advisor now, because a recession just before retirement, and particularly big stock market moves right before you retire, can wipe out a lot of the wealth that you have accumulated over the years. You want to make sure that you're positioned for this. And what you want to do is you want to call your financial advisor and you want to say, I want to know what the impact will be of a 10% loss in the stock market or a 12% loss in the stock market. I want you to show me the math and I want you to give me some strategies. Do that. Let your financial advisor do what they do. That's what you pay them for. And whether you're handing them a check to manage your money or they're pulling it out of your investment account, which is what most of them do, they charge fees. This is what you pay them for. You don't need to talk to them in the good times. You need to talk to them now when there is some risk. So if you're less than 10 years from retirement, you absolutely should be on the phone with your financial advisor and making sure that your retirement accounts are going to have the money that you are expecting when you're planning to retire. The shorter your time to retirement, the more critical it is that you talk to your financial advisor. Otherwise, you may find yourself working another 3, 4, 5 years just to make up that difference. If you are more than 10 years from retirement, this probably has little to no impact on you. Keep in mind, everybody's going out and buying 10-year treasury bonds. So what they're saying is 10 years from now, everything's going to be fine. The economy's going to be great. It's the next 2 years that we're worried about. So even if the next 2 years are bad, which I doubt would happen, but even if the next 2 years are bad, that still gives you 8 years of growth. And if you are contributing to your retirement account monthly, which you should be doing, you are buying stocks every month. And when stock prices go down, you get them at a lower price. And when they go up, you benefit from that. So that over a period of time, over those 10 years, stocks that would have cost you $5 a share to go out and buy 10 years from now may have only cost you $4 a share, $4.50 a share, because you bought them during the downturn. This is called dollar cost averaging. It's a very powerful investment strategy. And this is why you don't yank everything out of the stock market if you've got a long-term horizon, unless you're really, really risk-averse. You want to do that. Again, talk to your financial advisor. If you are in retirement, and no one ever talks about the people who are in retirement. You hear people talk about, oh, your investments and this and that and the other thing. No one ever talks about the people who are in retirement. If you are in retirement and you have exposure to the stock market and you have exposure to bonds, you want to talk to your financial advisor and find out what these market moves mean for you. It may mean nothing. It may mean that you find yourself with $200 less a month than you were counting on, and that you can fix that right now if you move some assets around, move into different asset classes. Generally speaking, people are going into money markets. People are going into gold. Stay away from gold. Again, I'm not giving you financial advice, but don't play the gold market, especially if you're counting on that money and on that revenue or that income for something. But if you're in retirement, you absolutely want to talk to your financial advisor, find out what's going on. And again, say to them, you know, what happens if the Dow loses 10%? What happens if the 2-year treasury note stays at this level and the 10-year stays at this level? What does this mean for my savings? That is the smartest thing that you can do. And it is the smartest thing you can do right now. The right nower you do it, the smarter you are. Because if this continues, if we keep seeing bad financial news everyone's going to come out of the woodwork and be on the phone with their advisor saying, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? You are better to be at the front of the line than the back of the line when the stock market is showing signs of distress. Because the people at the front of the line are the ones who get an opportunity to shore up their resources and make smart decisions. The people at the back of the line are losing money while they wait to get to the front of the line. So, if you're 10 years from retirement, or if you are in retirement and you still have exposure to bonds and stocks, which is not uncommon, a lot of people do that, you definitely want to talk to your financial advisor as quickly as you can. That's the big story today. And my apologies if you find finance and all of this boring, but this is something, you know, we focus in on things that are of general importance, things that matter in your life. And certainly that is something that is going to matter in your life. Most people, either through a IRA or a retirement plan at work or just personal investments, have some level of exposure to the market. And at a time like this, you want to make sure that you are not exposed to a greater level of risk than you can tolerate at this point in time. Not a financial advisor, but you probably have one, and that's who you should talk to. 855-915-9636. There is a warning out tonight. Summertime. Summertime is the best time of year. In the eyes of some, I'm particularly fond of this stretch when it cools off a little bit at the end of August and you get nice long days and it's a little cool outside and you feel like going out, running around and having a good time. It is also a time of year when everything seems to want to kill us. And this is from CBS Boston. Dog owners warned to stay away from blue-green algae blooms in Massachusetts. There is a warning for dog owners in Massachusetts about cyanobacteria in bodies of water around the state. Can I tell you what cyanobacteria does? Cyanobacteria is a bacteria that eats things and excretes cyanide. That's why it's called cyanobacteria. If you don't know what cyanide is, you're probably go ask an adult. Because you were probably, I'm pretty sure everyone over the age of 12 knows what cyanide is and knows that it is very, very, very bad for you. So these bacteria hang out in the pond, these algae, and they eat whatever they eat, or they photosynthesize or do whatever they're doing, and they excrete cyanide. So they basically fill the pond with cyanide. This warning comes a day after a North Carolina woman said three of her dogs died from swimming in a pond filled with toxic blue-green algae. The MSPCA tweeted Tuesday that dogs should not be allowed to wade into ponds that may be filled with the deadly bacteria. Quote, our angel, that's Angel Memorial, our angel vets say that typically a dog has to drink infected water to get sick, but bacteria can enter through open wounds, so avoid all bodies of water in which blue-green algae surface film is present, the organization said. A notice on the state's Department of Public Health website, last updated Friday, states that cyanobacteria blooms have been found at Billington Sea in Plymouth, Crystal Lake in Newton, Devil Pond in Westport, and Barnstable's Long Pond, Marston's Mills, and Schwabel Pond. There are reports of animals getting it on their skin and licking it off their hair and becoming sick as a result of this as well, said Dr. Kiko Bracker of MSPCA Angel. The trail was virtually empty along Newton's Crystal Lake Tuesday evening, with dog walkers instead staying up by the street and far away from the water. Quote, keeping them away for sure, said dog owner Jackie Riley. We're not even letting them put their paws near it. The MSPCA says to call your vet immediately if your pet has been around an algae bloom and shows symptoms such as vomiting, staggering, drooling, or convulsions. The CDC states that toxic blooms most often form in the late summer or early fall, where warm, slow-moving waters gain nutrients from sources like fertilizer runoff or septic tank overflows. Well, that alone should keep you out of the water. And by the way, this order, this recommendation, does not just apply to dogs. If you walk on two legs and have a name and a social security number, you should stay away from the water as well. And don't limit it to these ponds that have been identified. There are algae blooms happening in ponds all over the place. And if you've been around this summer and you've seen, you know, maybe you've seen that pea green film sitting on top of a pond or a lake or a piece of a lake, or you see a lot of tendril-like greenery hanging around at the edge of a pond, stay away from it. Do not go near it, because not all of it is toxic algae, but enough of it is toxic algae that you don't want to take the chance. You know, it's a little bit like running through the woods and saying, hey, I know there's poison ivy here, but I know what poison ivy looks like, so I can just stay away from it. And then you don't realize that the poison ivy is underneath something else that you that isn't poison ivy, and you get it anyway. These algae blooms are nothing to mess with. Cyanide is nothing to mess with. Keep your pets away from bodies of water. Keep yourself away from bodies of water. Doesn't affect the ocean. Ocean water is fine, but fresh pond, fresh water, even, you know, places, those little corners of rivers and streams where water gathers, algae can form there. Moving water is generally the enemy of algaes and the effects of algaes, but this stuff can form anywhere. So the best advice is to just stay out of any sort of fresh water for the next couple of weeks. Absolutely keep your dogs out of it. There will be no announcement lifting the warning, so you'll just have to wait until that green color goes away. But good advice to keep your dog, keep yourself, certainly keep your kids away from any freshwater sources, ponds, lakes, streams, swamps. You don't want to be in the swamp anyway. But absolutely keep an eye out for that. If you see anything, the best advice, really, just stay away from the water. Stay away from fresh water sources for the next couple of weeks until the algae blooms go away. If you must go in the water, beaches are fine. You can go jump in the sea and you'll be happy. In other local news, it was a wild weekend, apparently, over at the Wynn Casino. Am I allowed to call it the Wynn Casino? They want us to call it the Encore Boston Harbor. But we all know it is the Wynn Casino. There was an interesting little tidbit about the Wynn Casino last week. Because we know that the Wynn Company runs five-star resorts. And we assume that their top spenders, their whales, are coming into Encore Boston Harbor. Turns out, no. They haven't sent out any invites to those people yet, because what's going on right now for the casino is a soft opening. It's open. Everybody's welcome in. We're going to see how things work. But we're not letting our most valuable customers in here yet. And this takes us to what happened this past Saturday, or this past Sunday night, early Monday morning. Again, from CBS Boston. Two arrested after series of fights at Encore Boston Harbor. Two people were arrested and another will be summoned to court after a series of fights at Encore Boston Harbor early Monday morning. This is not an unusual occasion. We're just hearing about it. I'll tell you why in a second. The fights broke out around 2 a.m. as a large crowd exited the nightclub at closing time. Shani Mohammed Abo, 29, of Everett, was arrested and charged with assault, disorderly conduct, and resisting arrest. State police said Abo, quote, became uncooperative and combative with a club security officer and responding police officers, end quote. All right, you throw a punch at a cop, you're going to jail. It's that simple. Any situation, doesn't matter if you're in the casino, doesn't matter if you're in the bar, doesn't matter if you're walking down the street, you throw a punch at the cop, you're going to jail. Outside court Monday, Abo told WBZ-TV he was set up by police. Quote, I came out of the club. I was ransacked by a whole bunch of cops. I just told the officer to leave me alone and get away from me. Of course. Of course that's what happened. All these cops, for no reason, just swarmed in out of nowhere and decided to jump on you. Mm-hmm. Not buying your story, Abo, but maybe innocent until proven guilty. Just saying it. I don't think the police are randomly attacking people inside the Wynn Casino. Around 2:15 a.m., a second fight broke out in the hotel's main lobby. Police said Herbie Charmont, 25, of Lynn, got in a verbal altercation with two women. He allegedly pushed one of them, grabbed her cell phone, and threw it across the lobby. Charmont also allegedly touched one of the women inappropriately, police said. He was arrested and charged with indecent assault and battery, lewd and lascivious behavior, and disorderly conduct. Less than 10 minutes later, a third fight broke out on the gaming floor. A Lynn man will be summoned to court for assault and battery. While police were escorting several patrons off the property, troopers noticed a 32-year-old Lynn man who was, quote, highly intoxicated and continually yelling, end quote. He was taken into protective custody. Encore released a statement Monday afternoon that said, quote, Encore's in-house security team, in collaboration with local police and the EBH State Police Unit, was able to quickly respond to and control the situation with no impact or disruption to other guests or operations. Lynn Night will be canceled. They didn't say that. I added that. Malden court officials told WBZ-TV they've noticed these types of incidents have become part of the Monday morning traffic since the casino opened. This is the most important sentence in this article. Let me read it again. Malden court officials told WBZ-TV they have noticed these types of incidents have become part of the Monday morning traffic since the casino opened. What they mean by traffic is they walk in and they look at the docket for the day, fight at Wynn, arguing at Wynn, inappropriate contact at Wynn. All these casino cases come rolling in Monday morning from everybody who got picked up over the weekend. The public was also concerned. Quote, I think there's a ton of police all around the place, thank goodness at this point, to try to deter that from happening. You're going to get the wackos no matter what, said one man. That may be the second most important sentence in this article. You're going to get the wackos no matter what. Well, remember what I said at the start of this. Wynn has not yet invited their high rollers into this casino. If you are in the resort business, and I've worked with people who have been in that business, and you run a five-star resort or you run a five-star casino, more than half of your profits come from 15% of your clientele. They're known as whales in the industry. They are the people who will fly into town, spend $1 million on a weekend, and then fly back. They are very particular about the places that they go. And they are not going to walk into the Wynn Casino in Boston if there's a bunch of people from Lynn or Everett or New Bedford or Brockton or wherever fighting and arguing with prostitutes in the lobby. They're not going to come. And all it takes is for one of these people to have a bad experience, for the word to get out to all of them. You let down one whale, all the rest of the whales join the pod and swim away. Encore Boston Harbor is a unique entity in the city of Boston. It is something that we have never had before. It is a facility that caters to the 1%. They will let the rest of us in. They'll let us go to the buffet. They'll let us sit at their slot machines. They'll let us play $20 hands of blackjack. But none of that is there for us. It is there for the benefit of the 1% in society, the 15% of Wynn's clientele that makes a casino like this profitable. Now, as I said, the most important line in this article, Malden court officials say this has become part of the Monday morning traffic since the casino opened. Every single weekend, they are pulling people out of there for fighting, for prostitution, for who knows what else. Why are we getting this article now? Because the casino wants to send a message to everybody. You want to come in here? That's fine. You want to come in here and screw around? You're going to jail. And that is the message that this coverage sends. They're telling everybody who's thinking, hey, because the thing about casinos is casinos do attract a shady clientele, okay? If you've ever been in a casino, you know, you got grifters, you got prostitutes, you got people trying to rip off the casino, you got people trying to rip off other casino patrons. There are a lot of shenanigans that go on in a casino. And if we're talking about Plainville, which is a neighborhood casino, or Twin River, which is a neighborhood casino, or even Foxwoods, which is a regional casino, they're going to put up with a certain amount of this. Because, for better or worse, those people are spending money and helping to keep the casino in business. So if you get into a fight at Foxwoods, they're probably going to throw you out of the place and tell you not to come back. Whether or not they enforce that ban is up for debate. They may just throw you out and say, you know, get out of here. Don't come back here tonight. They may say, don't come back here for 3 months if they've caught you a few times. But they're going to make it clear to you that, you know, you're going to leave, and if you ever come in here again, you're going to be on your best behavior. We're going to throw you out immediately. If you're in Plainville and you get into a fight, I think they just take you to the bar and tell you to calm down. Maybe they make you go walk around the parking lot a couple of times. They're just happy to have anybody in that place. You get into a fight at Wynn, the Encore Boston Harbor, you're going to jail. They're not going to throw you out. They're calling the police. And you are going to jail. And they are going to press charges. That is a huge difference between this casino and the other casinos in town. And the reason that difference exists is because this casino is not for us. This casino is for that 15%. Those people who are going to fly in from Macau, who are going to fly in from Hong Kong, they're going to fly in from Germany, they're going to fly in from London, they're going to fly in from Japan, they're going to throw $1 million around, and then they're going to go home. That's what this casino exists to do. That is the audience this casino exists to serve. Now, they can't just wall it off and say nobody can come in. I mean, they could, but there's 5 other days out of the week, Monday through, you know, Sunday through Thursday, when it would be nice to make some money. The bulk of their profits come from these high rollers. And the high rollers are not going to put up with fighting. They're not going to put up with drug dealing. They're not going to put up with prostitutes walking around the lobby. They may want drugs and prostitutes, but they want it handled in a very quiet, gentlemanly way. They don't want it out in the open. And they don't want mayhem out in the open. And if they see mayhem and they see people who they consider to be a problem or dangerous, they're not coming back. So this is Wynn. This is Encore. Through this coverage, and I'm pretty sure everybody saw this story on Monday, that, oh my God, there were 3 fights at the casino over the weekend. There were 3 fights at the casino every day. Every day. The reason you're hearing about it now is because they're putting everyone in the public on notice. Do not come to this casino and screw around. Do not come to this casino and act like an idiot. Do not come to this casino and think that you are going to get into fights, that you're going to beef with our security staff, that you're going to sell drugs, that you're going to sell sex. You're not doing that here. And if you think you are, you're going to jail. That's the message. That's what it's about. This is the big picture. Derek Gary with you until 9 o'clock tonight. On the Tell Mikey D coming up at 9 o'clock with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene, because we like that sort of thing. But before that...
No why? There's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
Your Boston 5-day forecast. Much, much nicer than it was last week. None of that nasty, nasty heat and humidity in the forecast. If you've been out today, you know it's a little humid out there, but generally speaking, pretty nice day. So tonight, it's going to continue to dry out. It's going to continue to cool down. Lows in the mid-60s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny. High in the low 70s, low in the mid-60s. Friday, some clouds blowing around. High only of about 70 degrees on Friday. Lows in the mid-60s Friday night. And then we get a little bit of rain and nasty moving in here. Mostly cloudy on Saturday. High around 80, low around 70. Afternoon thunderstorms on Sunday. High in the mid-80s, low in the low 70s. And then on Monday, summer ain't quite done with us yet. We're going to get a one-day shot of somewhat nasty heat. Not so bad on the humidity, but temperatures up into the low 90s and then lows in the mid-70s. And then after that, yeah, it's looking like we're going to break the pattern and get into that sort of late summer, nice, enjoyable weather, a few good days to get out and have fun before we all go back to school, back to work, whatever we're going back to. So looks like Sunday is going to be your beach day winner out of the two. Don't let the afternoon thunderstorms scare you off, because they're just going to be spread around a little bit. You know how it goes. You get hot days. You're probably going to get some pop-up thunderstorms around here. But most of the day is pretty nice. So go hit the beach while you still can. 855-915-9636. When we come back, Jeffrey Epstein. What happened? Were you actually surprised? Was anyone actually surprised? Here on WMFO Medford.
The sun struggles up another beautiful day, and I felt glad in my own suspicious way. Yeah, despite the contradiction and confusion, felt tragic for that reason. There's malice and there's magic in every season. My falling breakers are the bars of the surf.
Have you ever noticed a number and a shield along with a quality grade mark on the meat you buy? Well, that's the yield grade. Although the yield grade is important to the retailer, you don't need to be concerned about it unless you're buying a large cut of meat like an untrimmed wholesale cut. The yield grade tells you how much usable meat you will have after the waste is removed. A yield grade 1 has the most usable meat, and a yield grade 5 the least. To learn more, write, "How to Buy Meat," Agriculture Radio, Washington, 20250.
This is the sound of salmonella gyrating on your undercooked chicken. And it looks like Mom might be taking it out a little early. Don't let salmonella get funky with your chicken. On average, 1 in 6 Americans will get a foodborne illness this year. So use a thermometer to cook each type of meat to the right temperature. Keep your family safe at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. Please don't use it unless it's an actual on-air emergency, because there's only so many things I can do at once. And I can't, one thing I can't do is talk to the microphone and talk to a caller who wants to get on the air. We'll get this sorted out at some point and figure out some way for me to be able to talk to you again, because I love talking to listeners. I do hope you stick around and listen to what I have to say. You can shout at your radio. And keep in mind that when you shout at your radio,